For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
He was born in Bethlehem, they say. There was a star to light the path to where he lay. Rich or poor, they came from far and near, 'cause they'd all heard the reason he was here. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. He had the birthday, we got the gift. They wrapped him up with gentle hands. God hoped the world would understand. Eternal life we shall receive, and all that he asks in return is that we just believe. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. He had the birthday, we got the gift. There's no way in this world we could repay the miracle he gave us on that day. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross, the birthday. We got the gift on our Savior's birthday. We got the gift.
I've been teaching on the scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we, the children of God, will have to totally rely on that as we see the day of our Lord Jesus Christ approaching. Because we will see much confusion in the churches. There has been a mediocre
attitude in the churches that call themselves Christian. And the Bible teaches very clearly that all foundations will be shaken. So the question is, are you on the solid rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ? As we see churches crumbling today, mega churches, churches that house 20 to 25,000 people, simply slowly disappear because they do not have a foundation to stand upon. The things of this world have encroached in on them. The shaking is beginning, and now they're falling apart. We, the children of God, the true child of God, we need to understand, maybe even the church where we attend will be shaken and will fall apart. But we, as children of God, need to make sure that our foundation is not a church building, is not a church system, but a person called the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be the test of all humanity, of all those who call themselves Christians, as we draw closer to the coming back of Jesus. And as we approach this holiday season, this Christmas holiday season, where Jesus was born, we're going to see some incredible things happening. You look around yourself and you see what most people are thinking of. Are they thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, in many cases, God is reverenced. Jesus is worshipped. But in many, many cases, he is forgotten. The reason for the season is strictly Jesus, and we have to understand that. And today I want to bring forth the simplicity of knowing Jesus. Scripture declares it so clearly. We don't have to be confused. And I will try to bring forth the scriptures that God has laid on my heart and explain to you how it works. When one becomes a child of the King, once you are a child of the King, then you can truly celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of the people so that they will see and understand and draw close to your word, Lord, as we see that awesome day approaching. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessing. I ask you to bless this message. You will bless the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the Apostle Paul clearly describes here how it works. It is by faith that we are justified. Very easy to understand. If somebody gets away from his religious upbringing, all you have to do that is put your religious upbringing aside for a moment, and then you can start to understand the simplicity of the gospel. You start to understand that the Lord Jesus places no confidence in your efforts. He places everything on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that secured our salvation for us. The Bible teaches it over and over and over. It tells us in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the word faith. Faith in the finished work of the cross. Faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For our Lord Jesus Christ did not only die for our sin, He rose for our justification. And once we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, turn to him for our salvation, and become a new creation in Christ, then Romans chapter 8 reveals to us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That scripture simply means there is no condemnation to them that are born again by the Spirit of the living God. If you are walking in the flesh, that means you're not born again by the Spirit. You need to walk with the Spirit of God within you. And that's what happens when you become born again. The Bible teaches we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. The moment you become a born-again believer, the Holy Ghost is then placed in you, and then you walk by the Spirit through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, that's what Scripture explains to us over and over and over. And we, the Church of God, need to ground ourselves in that. We need to understand that. Many Christians get discouraged because they don't understand the finished work of the cross. They do not take serious the Word of God when God tells you there is now therefore no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. For me, that was the easiest thing to accept. Why? Because I knew the Word of God was true. So if you become a Christian, so when you become a Christian and you rejoice in your salvation for a season, then all at once, Satan starts to bombard you with doubts. And I know there are many people out there who will tell you that nobody can know that he is going to heaven. But you don't listen to people. You listen to what the Word of God speaks. The Word of God wants your salvation. The Word of God wants you to know that you are secure in Christ, because the Bible teaches us, study to show thyself that you are approved of God. This is what Scripture teaches. But a human being who doesn't understand you or doesn't understand Scripture will always try to rub you off what the Holy Ghost has placed in your heart. And a human being is in a lot of cases backed off by satanic forces. We need to understand that. They don't speak out of their own heart. They speak what Satan puts into them. The unbeliever is unregenerated. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And they will speak to you what is negative. They will try to rub you off your salvation. And I am talking here about many people who call themselves Christians who are doing that. You wonder, why don't they see what I see? I'll let you know why they don't see. Because deep within their heart, they don't really know the Lord. So you need to look at Scripture and anchor yourself in that and be not swayed by what men say or teach. In Romans chapter 7, there is a very interesting scripture that explains how it works when you become born again. He uses the example of somebody being married. He tells us in Romans chapter 7 verse 2, "For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband." So when you study these scriptures in Romans chapter 7, it gives you a very clear way of understanding what it means to become born again. You are not married anymore to that old man, sin nature. For before we became born again, we were married to Satan. Once we are born again, we then are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. This may be very hard for some religious people to accept, but the Bible teaches us that we are dead in trespasses and sin, and our father is the devil, if we're not born again. It's as simple as that. You cannot speak it any more clear. So I'm asking you a question today. What do these words speak to you? Do they bring anxiety? Do they bring maybe anger? Or do they bring joy to you? I know I've hit all three people here. Where do you stand with this subject? Has something changed in your life since you've died to your old nature and was married to Jesus Christ, your new husband, or should we say your new bridegroom? Yes, we are the bride of Christ. Before we were the wife of Satan. But once we are regenerated, and we have been changed through the born-again experience, we become the bride of Christ. I got a scripture here in Galatians chapter 5, where you can check out whether you're still married to old sin nature or to Satan. It goes like this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Some of these we may say, no, I'm not into that. But here it comes down to the inner man, to who you really are. Envyings, do you envy? Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why do people do these things? It is because they are still married to the old man. They do what is natural. They run with the old man to the same old crowd, to the same old places, and they repeat doing what they've done all their lives. But once they become married to the new man, Jesus our Lord, then something happens in your spirit, and I will read you what happens to it. It tells us in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And these are the fruits of Christ. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I believe this scripture means we will then also walk in the Spirit if we live in the Spirit. Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Has things changed in your life since you've become a Christian? I know many people have claimed they're born again. But when you study their lifestyles, you start to understand that they seem to be married to two people, to the Lord Jesus Christ and to Satan. Because on one hand, they don't want to let go of their old lusts of the flesh. On the other hand, they try to fit in with the crowd who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to individuals today who are guilty of that. I know we are all guilty of not living up to the standards of God. But if somebody is not interested in the things of God and still continues living in the flesh, in drunkenness, in drugs, in homosexuality, in pornography, and calls himself a Christian, there is something drastically wrong. You need to check out whether you're a born-again believer or not, because the proof, the guideline, is written in Scripture. And you have to check it out with Scripture. You don't listen to other people. I know there are many people and churches who have allowed to let their guidelines slip away. Their way of operating has become world-friendly or should we say user-friendly. They seem to think that we need to act a little more like the world, and then we will be able to make friends with them, and then they will in turn turn to the Lord. Well, the Lord is not interested whether we make friends or not. He didn't call us into this world. He didn't say, go out into the world and make friends. He said, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Never mind trying to make friends. Teach people that they need to repent and turn to the Lord to flee the wrath that is to come. So if you're one of those that seem to be married to two husbands, one of them is Lord. One of them is dead. Either it's Christ or Satan. Which one is it? You are the one that knows the truth. So I'm asking you, check it out with Scripture. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and you will become a blessing to many. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing.
They came from near, they came from far, following a distant star to where he lay. Not being sure of what it meant, but knowing it was heaven sent, they made their way. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried.
The angels knew what was to come, the reason God had sent his son from up above. It filled their hearts with joy to see, tears of love. And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried.
I've often thought about that night and wondered if they realized that star so bright
was sent to tell all the land the Son of God would soon become the Son of Man.
And the creatures gathered round and didn't make a sound, and the angels cried, and the angels cried, and the angels cried.
We are now in the time and season where everybody is getting ready to celebrate the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we watch what's happening on the world scene, when it comes to the subject of Christmas, we can see an attack on that holiday. They want to change it from Christmas to an ordinary holiday. You even when you go into different stores, they don't say Merry Christmas, they say Happy Holidays. It seems to be like Satan doesn't want the name of Jesus anywhere anymore. And those who follow him are just as determined to get rid of that name as Satan is. We, the children of God, know there's a reason for that. It is because the Lord is about to return. And as he gets closer to his coming back, Satan is going to be out like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. And those who follow him will have the same attitude. But we as Christians, we do not have to worry about that as long as we know where we stand with God. For the Lord Jesus Christ clearly tells us, "Don't worry, I have overcome the world." So we, the Christians, all we have to do is relax, celebrate in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, and keep on telling everyone that Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior of the world. When the angels of the Lord appeared unto the shepherds so long ago, they brought them glad tidings. It tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." It's good tidings. They brought good news that God wants the whole world to recognize. And when one studies these scriptures, it becomes very clear that the Lord God wants to bring joy and peace to every person's heart. This is why I like to preach the gospel, the way of salvation, because I know this is what brings joy to people's hearts. But it saddens my heart to know that many people, even though they're born again, they still doubt their salvation. After a while, after they become a Christian, it doesn't take long. Then the fire slowly goes out. It is because they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We, the people of God, need to make sure that we keep this relationship going, because Satan will rob us of our joy. It tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What are those scriptures saying to us? If his death had the power to save us when we were dead in trespasses and sin, how much more shall his life keep us when we are his children? This is the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring to each and every one of us. His death brought us life while we were yet in the camp of Satan. Yes, Jesus died and rose for our transgression. But now, since we've become the children of God, his life will keep us. He will keep us from the clutches of Satan, regardless what happens to us. This is why I know when I turned to the Lord for my salvation, it was a done deal. I will never go back into the enemy's camp again, because I was secured by the finished work of the cross and kept by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the Merry Christmas I want to wish to everyone who is listening today: a joy and peaceful heart towards your salvation and towards your Savior. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.